Would you pray with me? Holy God, we have entered the journey of the 3 days. Your readings take us back to the beginning. And your word reminds us that you have been there before with your people. You've heard their pain, their cry, and you will be with us. Help us, O Lord, to hold on to that good truth, to remember what we have just heard, that we might look forward to the third day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I remember our first Lenten gathering this year, using Walter Brueggemann's study, Countering Pharaoh's Production Consumption Society. And Dr. Brueggemann made the observation that the Bible is an act of imagination. Now, that statement has stayed with me for 6 weeks. The Bible is an act of imagination. And so I looked it up online to see if there was something where I could get a little bit more of how he might explain that. And I found a site, and he says about that, the dominant biblical character is God, who is irascible and elusive. The church, he said, has tried sadly to domesticate this God. God is irascible and elusive. Now, if you're like me, I'm not sure those are words that I want to use to describe the God that I worship. But as I've thought about it, what I think Brueggemann is saying is that God's acts in history have been so contrary to human nature that we have a hard time understanding God, why God has done the things God has done. And it takes an active imagination to begin to have an understanding about this God who has this imagination. And as I thought more about it, in many ways, imagination begins with remembering. We look back. We remember and we see how God has acted in the past that was so imaginatively wonderful for God's people most of the time. And that then gives us the impetus to imagine how God might act or want us to act in the present. Jesus and his disciples had gathered to celebrate the Passover. Now, if you've ever attended a Passover meal, the Seder meal, you know that the service is about remembering. Remembering what God did for the ancient Hebrew people in freeing them from the Egyptian taskmasters, the Egyptian Pharaoh. And the Seder is a symbolic recapitulation of the first Passover. You've got the bitter herb to remember the bitterness of the slavery. You've got the harisseth that reminds you of the sweetness of God releasing God's people. And you've got all of these symbolic things. Interestingly, though, the writer of John skips over that. John does not have a Last Supper. John does not talk about the disciples going to celebrate the Passover. And instead, John has Jesus instituting a new symbolic ritual. That of washing the disciples' feet. Jesus says, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you." I have set you an example. Remember. Remember what I have done for you and do it for one another. And let's put it in the imaginative too, because we don't often think of lords washing the feet of the common people. And that's what I mean by this act of imagination on the part of God and of God's Son Jesus that we have to remember. Now, so that we don't forget that this is also the night of the Last Supper, the celebration of the Passover, the creators of the lectionary have paired the Johannine passage of the foot washing with that of Paul's retelling of the Last Supper, which, by the way, is the earliest account we have. Paul wrote his account before the Gospels wrote their account of the Last Supper. And Paul reminds us that Jesus said twice, "Do this in remembrance of me." Remember, for it's only in remembering that you can begin to understand what God and what Jesus would do and what God requires of us. I've always found it interesting that in the next chapter of John, Jesus describes the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." The Holy Spirit helps us to remember. And only in remembering can we bring that active imagination of God to bear on our personal lives and in the world we live in. You've heard me say a number of times from here, and I know you've said it a number of times in your life, that old adage, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it again. We run the risk of forgetting the wonderful, life-giving ways that we can be in the world when we don't look back and see that wonderful imagination of God at work in the world and in people's lives. And this is important as we begin what our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters call the Holy Triduum, or the 3 days starting with the Last Supper and ending with Easter evening. We begin by remembering what God has done throughout history for God's people. And then we descend tomorrow into what human sin did to God's Son. And then in that darkness, we are met on the third day with the empty tomb. God's response to the sin of the world is to raise God's Son from the dead. This 3 days and this act of remembering remind us that God's best is a lot more powerful than humanity's worst. So tonight, we remember. We remember the compassionate servitude of Christ, that we might have the courage to go through tomorrow and reach the empty tomb. That we might have the imagination of God to even begin to believe that such a thing is possible. That someone could love us so much. Therefore, tonight let us remember. Let us remember that on that night centuries ago, God passed over God's children and set them free. And then let us hear the words, "Do this, remembering me." And may our lives be lived imaginatively in the remembrance of the one who gives us life. Amen.